Russell Beale and Benedict Cumberbatch in the powerful story of friends turned enemies.
Our tanks are almost at Moscow. What can stop us? Well, one thing, perhaps.
Copenhagen, tomorrow night at 8:30.
Well, a very good afternoon to you from me, Ian Skelly, here to guide you through our programmes this afternoon on Radio 3. They continue in a couple of minutes with a look back at the history of the viola d'amore, surely one of the most beautifully named instruments. But where did it come from and who revered it? Find out in the early music show. Then there's a second chance to enjoy our live relay last Monday here on Radio 3 of a recital given by the violinist Alina Ibrahimova and the pianist Cedric Tibagian. They played a programme of violin sonatas by Schubert at Wigmore Hall in London. You can hear that recital at 2 o'clock this afternoon. But now, with the time just after 1 o'clock, time to catch up on the latest BBC News. Details have emerged of the flat-rate state pension, which the government will propose this week. The payments, which will be worth about £144 a week in today's money, are due to be introduced in 2017. It's thought some people will have to pay hundreds of pounds extra in tax every year, but others, such as women who currently lose out by taking a career break, will benefit. To get anything back from the scheme, workers will need to have paid national insurance for a minimum of 10 years. One French commando has been killed and another is missing after a failed attempt to rescue a French hostage in Somalia. The French defence minister said special forces met fierce resistance during the operation and the hostage, an intelligence agent, was apparently killed by his captors. But the militant group Al-Shabaab said the hostage was still alive and his fate would be decided shortly. The Labour leader Ed Miliband has set out plans to protect those people who rent their homes privately. In a speech to the Fabian Society, he promised measures to root out rogue landlords, to stop letting agents from charging excessive fees, and to give greater security to families in rented accommodation. Mr. Miliband also used his speech to flesh out his vision of One Nation Labour, which he said would learn lessons from both New Labour's successes and its failures. The Greek Parliament has passed a series of tax increases which were needed for the country to qualify for more bailout funds from the European Union and the International Monetary Fund. Opposition parties said the changes would inflict more pain on people who are already struggling for money. P&O Cruises has announced that its ships will no longer stop in Argentina because of continuing tensions over the Falklands. The Argentinian authorities have recently been refusing to allow cruise liners, which have been to the Falklands, to dock in their ports. And the weather for the afternoon, cloudy and cold for most, with rain in the southwest and some sleet or snow over the Pennines and Scotland. Central areas will be dry and bright. And that's the news and the weather. Well, later this afternoon, a master impressionist as well as comedy actor, Jan Ravens, takes the role of radio presenter to introduce musical impressions from comedy parodies and cunning musical disguises to impressions and evocations of faraway places. You can hear music by Peter Warlock, Debussy, Beethoven, Stravinsky and Saint-Saëns, and Dudley Moore, all in Saturday Classics with Jan Ravens at 3 here on Radio 3. But now it's time for the first of this weekend's editions of the Early Music Show. Here's Catherine Bott.
Hello. One of the loveliest things about early music instruments is the sound of their names. Flauto dolce, hautbois, chalumeau, viola d'amore, tromba marina, lirone. OK, I concede that they're more romantic and colourful if I don't describe them in English, but they demonstrate that the Baroque period in particular saw an explosion of innovation in instrumental technology, coinciding with the development of the concept of the orchestra. In today's programme, I'm going to be looking at one of the most expressive of all stringed instruments. But first, let's hear some of the sounds I've just mentioned in a concerto by Vivaldi.
Thank you.
Vivaldi's Concerto RV555 for two recorders, oboe, chalumeau, forerunner of the clarinet, violin, two bass viols, two violins playing in imitation of a tromba marina, an early bowed instrument with just one string, and the marine trumpet is worth a programme to itself, so I'll see what I can do. Two harpsichords and strings complete the lineup. Robert King directed the King's Consort. As you can gather from that concerto's cast list, baroque instruments are an ear-tingling blend of the familiar and the exotic. Instruments were constantly evolving as the certainties of the Renaissance, the viol consort, the lute song, the town waits, began to be overtaken by the violin family, opera, theatres and public concerts. The violin family, for example, made a brighter, louder, more extrovert sound than viols were designed to do. Today, record companies are slowly adjusting to the idea that people don't want to pay to hear music anymore. Free downloads are taking over from CDs. But in the 17th century, the reverse was true, in the secular world anyway. For the nobility, songs and dances had always been free on demand, as long as you had your own musical establishment. But the birth of public opera in Venice was matched by an audience willing to buy tickets for a good musical night out. Private music became public, and as it travelled, so instruments began to be more standardised. But Baroque composers were often reluctant to let the plangent old sounds go. Think of Purcell giving a last hurrah, or perhaps sigh, to the outmoded viol in the early 1680s. And Bach, in particular, made inspired use of unusual textures in his Passions.
Thank you. Wie sein
an arioso and then an aria from Bach's St. John Passion, sung by Klaus Mertens and then Gert Türk, with Andrew Manzi and Jane Norman playing obbligato Viola d'Amore, the viola of love. Ton Koopman conducted the Amsterdam Baroque Orchestra. Bach's use in those movements of the Viola d'Amore, with that slightly grainy texture and an intensely humane quality to the sound, is troubling and inspired at the same time, because at this point in the St. John Passion, we are invited to reflect on two noble yet appalling ideas. First, the bass sings, "Consider, my soul, your highest good depends on Jesus' sorrow." And then the tenor aria compares Christ's blood-stained back to a rainbow after a storm, a sign of God's mercy. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott. Later on, I'll be reminding you about the 2013 National Centre for Early Music / Radio 3 Young Composers Award, in which we're asking composers to write for the baroque ensemble Florilegium. And one of the instruments composers can write for, if they choose to, is the Viola d'Amore. Here's the first known mention of the instrument in John Evelyn's diary from November 1679. "I dined at the Master of the Mints with my wife, invited to hear music which was most exquisitely performed. Above all, for its sweetness and novelty, the viol d'amore, five wire strings, played on with a bow. I never heard a sweeter instrument or more surprising." More than 70 years later, Leopold Mozart called the instrument "a special kind of violin that sounds lovely in the stillness of the night." And those two quotes more or less cover the period of the Viola d'Amore's regular use. It's an intriguing hybrid of an instrument, about the size of a viola, but with the flat back of a viol. It's unfretted and played under the chin like a violin. But unlike a violin or a viol, it has 14 strings, 7 playing strings and 7 sympathetic or resonating strings. Let's hear some more of this sweet and sympathetic sound. A substantial piece, this. Members of the Purcell Quartet play a 7-movement partita for 2 violas d'amore by Bieber. Thank you. Bieber's Partita No. 7 for two violas d'amore and continuo from the collection of pieces known as the Harmonia Artificiosa Ariosa, played by members of the Purcell Quartet. As well as the penumbra of sound from the resonating strings, it's worth mentioning Bieber's use of scordatura in these partitas. You could call that extreme tuning. Open strings are retuned to enable the player to create combinations of notes that would normally be impossible, or unusual timbre to give bite to the music. Now, as promised, a reminder about the 2013 National Centre for Early Music Radio 3 Young Composers Award, which we launched towards the end of last year. For the 2013 competition, we're collaborating with the acclaimed baroque ensemble Florilegium, and we're asking young composers to create a 3 or 4 minute piece for Florilegium to play in the spirit of a baroque dance. Composers are invited to create any dance form that they like, but it must be scored for the 4 players of the ensemble. We're not looking for a baroque pastiche, but an original piece. It can be a reel or a rumba, a street dance or a waltz. The choice is completely open. It's crucial that applicants register their interest in taking part in the competition by emailing the National Centre for Early Music by Friday the 8th of February. That's in about 3 weeks' time. Completed scores should be delivered by Friday the 8th of March, and the award will be judged in York on Saturday the 27th of April. There are 2 awards, one for composers aged 19 to 25 and one for those aged 18 and under. The 2 winning works will be premiered by Florilegium at a public concert given at the Bath International Music Festival in June, and they'll be recorded for broadcast here on Radio 3's Early Music Show. Full details, email addresses and terms and conditions can be found on the Early Music Show webpage at bbc.radio3/Early Music Show. And you'll also be able to find a link there outlining the musical details of the baroque instruments we're asking composers to write for. There are 4 members of Florilegium, and each player can double, so you have a choice of 8 instruments to compose for. These are the flute or recorder, the cello or piccolo cello, the harpsichord or chamber organ, and the violin or viola d'amore, which brings us back very conveniently to the subject of today's programme. The Air and Gavotte from the Suite for Flute, Viola d'Amore and Chalumeau by the German composer Christoph Graupner, played by Bellarte Salzburg. An original Viola d'Amore is a highly ornate piece of woodwork with steeply sloping, curvaceous shoulders, an elaborate carved head at the top of the pegbox, and sound holes in the shape of a flaming sword. This last touch indicates a Middle Eastern, possibly Islamic influence. And there are various Arabic, Turkish and Indian instruments that have sympathetic strings. It was what we'd now call a niche instrument. It never found a regular place within an established ensemble. but composers were drawn to its distinctive tone and the poetic possibilities offered by the name Viola d'Amore, which perhaps refers to a love that's both human and divine. Composers who wrote for the Viola d'Amore throughout the Baroque period included Alessandro Scarlatti, Vivaldi, Ariosti, Matteson, who admired what he called its tender and languishing effect, Telemann, Bach, of course, and Graupner. And the instrument never really went away. It crops up in some surprising operatic places in the 19th century. Meyerbeer, Massenet, and even, just squeaking into the 20th century, Puccini's Madama Butterfly. But back to the Baroque, let's end today with Graupner and more from his suite in F. Here once again are Belle Arte Salzburg. From me, Catherine Bott, it's goodbye for now.
That was part of a suite for flute, viola d'amore and Chalumeau by Christoph Graupner, performed by Bellarte Salzburg. Today's Early Music Show was presented by Catherine Bott. The programme was produced in Salford by Chris Wines. And don't forget that today's programme is available as a download from the Radio 3 website. And that's where you can also find, on the Early Music Show pages, all the details of the competition that Catherine mentioned there, the 2013 National Centre for Early Music Radio 3 Young Composers Award. And talking of youthful music making...
The infectious enthusiasm of some of the UK's brightest young orchestral musicians and a conductor who knows every colour of the orchestral palette...
On BBC Radio 3, John Wilson and the National Youth Orchestra of Great Britain.
The Radio 3 Sunday concert goes to Leeds Town Hall for a performance of Britten, John Adams and Whole Suite, The Planets.
The Sunday concert at 2 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
Back to this afternoon on Radio 3, the actress and impressionist Jan Ravens presents Saturday Classics in an hour from now. She'll introduce a variety of musical impressions, from comedy parodies and cunning musical disguises to impressions and evocations of faraway places. The programme includes a new recording of piano pieces by Peter Warlock, as well as the music of Debussy, Beethoven, Stravinsky and Saint-Saëns. Dudley Moore makes an appearance too in Saturday Classics with Jan Ravens this afternoon at 3. But now it's time for the Radio 3 Lunchtime Concert and a second chance to hear last Monday's live broadcast from Wigmore Hall in London. It's introduced by Fiona Talkington.
For our first Wigmore Lunchtime Concert of 2013, we welcome back two former BBC Radio 3 New Generation artists. The violinist Alina Ibrahimova and the pianist Cedric Tibergian met during their time with us, and we're really rather proud that we helped them to forge a musical partnership that has grown in strength and international reputation over the last 7 years or so. They've recently finished recording the complete violin and piano works of Schubert for release later on this year, and with their heads and hearts full of his music, they're going to play three sonatas for us this lunchtime as part of Wigmore Hall's celebration of Schubert in their series An die Musik, to Music. Schubert grew up in a musical household with his father and two brothers, and they all used to play string quartets as a family, Franz on viola, his brothers playing violins, and his father on cello. He was then taken under the wing of Salieri as a choir boy in the court chapel, and he encountered a lot of different types of music in his early years, which inspired him to compose. He was still a teenager when he wrote his first three violin sonatas, but with Mozart as his muse and Brother Ferdinand as his inspiration, this teenager was already the composer of symphonies and numerous songs, including the famous Erl King. And in this first sonata, there's real emotional depth in the slow movement and fun and energy in the finale. Schubert's own title for it was Sonata for Piano with the Accompaniment of a Violin. And applause now for Alina Ibrahimova and Cedric Tibergian coming onto the stage here at Wigmore Hall to play Schubert's early violin sonata in D, Deutsch number 384.